I better get that one turned off. It's kind of rattling around up there. Good morning, church. So good to see all of you. So I thank you, Kathy, for the Thanksgiving message. That's not the message that God gave me this morning, so it's good that you took care of that for me. Well, this is Thanksgiving week, as you all know, and normally this would be the Sunday that I give a Thanksgiving message, or Matt does. Usually he gets the holidays, so I think you're going to get this one anyway, Matt, if he tells you to do it next week. That's not the message he gave me for today. So I got a call this week. Someone called and asked me, how do you know when you've heard the voice of the Lord, or if it's you're doing it because it's what you want? I thought, wow, I've got to answer that on the phone quickly. I need some time to think about that. But the Lord did give me an answer. So I explained how, for me, I've spent enough time with the Lord that I've learned to hear His voice. I've learned to know when He's speaking to me, because what I told Him in the end was, you'll feel a peace about it. You won't have any more turmoil. You won't have any more conflict. You'll feel a peace about it. And so I have entitled the lesson today, The Voice of the Lord. God wants us to understand from His Word how we can know that we've heard His voice. I'm going to say for me, it's been, 6 or 7 years since Matt and I have been preaching. And I've learned to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit's telling me, because I don't want to mess up when I bring a message to the church. I don't want it to be from me, nor does Matt. We want the messages that we bring to be from God. And so we've learned to be at peace about what He gives. And sometimes, as Matt will attest to, we've had a message ready that we thought He was telling us, and Sunday morning or Saturday evening, it'll change to something that He really wants for the day today. So hopefully this is something that you'll all want to hear. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, I thank You that we can know Your voice. Father, that You have made it plain to us that we can hear Your voice, that we'll know Your voice, and that we won't have to wonder. We won't have to be in turmoil about whether it's me or whether it's You. But Father, we'll know because of the peace that You give us by Your Holy Spirit. So Father, as we look at Your Word today, we just ask, Father, that You'll speak to us, to all of us, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I've been reading in the prophets. Ezekiel has been my daily devotions in the last few weeks, and Ezekiel, as he's prophesying to the church there, to the kings, he says, and this is what the sovereign Lord says, or hear what God is saying. Let me just go to Ezekiel for a minute, where I've been reading, and there's two or three different ways. 31:10 says, therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Place where it says, this is what God says. And so I've noticed that all through the kings and the prophets, that the prophets announce when God is speaking, that this is what God says. This is what He's telling me to tell you. I want to begin today in 1 Kings. Let's just go back to 1 Kings. First Kings 18 and verses 30 through 39. So this is the account, and you all know this story. This is the account of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And I want to begin, as I said, in verse 30 of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Turn the page. So this is after the prophets of Baal have tried to get the Lord's attention. They've called called down fire to come and eat up the sacrifice or lick it up. And in verse 30, it says, Then Elijah said to all the people, "Come here to me." They came to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which was in ruins. Elijah took 12 stones, one for each of the tribes descended from Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, "Your name shall be Israel." With the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he dug a trench around it, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. He arranged the wood, cut the bull into pieces, and laid it on the wood. Then he said to them, "Fill 4 large jars with water and pour it on the offering and on the wood." Do I need this to farther my way from my mouth a little bit, or is it okay? All right. "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. And all of you know that wet wood won't burn. I think he was doing this to prove a point. Because we've tried to burn wet wood before and it just won't light. It won't. And he drenched it. I mean, he drenched it. It said the water was running down around the altar and filled the trench up. And verse 36 says, "At the time of sacrifice," the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done all these things in your at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." So Elijah is pleading with the Lord. He said, "If there's ever been a time that I need to hear your voice, it's now, Lord. I need to know that you are God. They need to know that you are God." So it says, "Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. When all the people saw this, they fell prostrate and cried, 'The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God.'" So this is a story that you all know, but this is I wanted to read this one just to show you that you will know when you hear God's voice. But it's not always going to be this drastic of an answer. It's not always going to be this drastic of an answer. Sometimes it'll be a still small voice. And I want to go to First Kings 19, just the next chapter over. We're going to begin in verse 3. So this is the account where they had the wind, the earthquake, and fire, and then a gentle whisper. It's beginning with verse 3 in chapter 19. Elijah was afraid, and he ran for his life. So this was after the prophets of Baal were killed, and Jezebel had told him that she was going to kill him, basically, is what she told him. So Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. So how can a man of God who just saw this great miracle in the next few hours fear anything at all? I mean, he's just like us, isn't he? We can go from knowing we heard God to being afraid in a short time. But it says Elijah was afraid for his life and ran for his life. But he came when he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. And while he himself went a day's journey into the desert, he came to a broom tree and sat down under it and prayed that he might die. "I've had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank, and then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you." So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. I was reminded again that how many times the leaders and the kings of Israel went, when they went to spend time with God, they went up to a mountain. They went up onto a mountain to spend time with God. And the word of the Lord came to him there. "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." The Lord said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." I was trying to imagine that scenario. The Lord told him to get up and go out on the mountain and just wait, because the Lord's going to pass by. It's going to be an experience that you'll not forget. So, it says, "Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper." When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He replied, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too." So Elijah was having a pity party. He was. He knew that Jezebel said she was going to kill him, and so he was. He wasn't depending on the Lord at that time. The Lord said to him, "Go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus. When you get there, anoint Hazael king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu son of Nimshi king over Israel. And anoint Elisha son of Shaphat from Abel-Meholah to succeed you as prophet. Jehu will put to death any who escape the sword of Hazael, and Elisha will put to death any who escape the sword of Jehu. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." So he was trying to show Elijah that he still had 7,000 people that were following him, even though Elijah thought he was the only one left. He was being short-sighted at that time. But I read these verses so that you can see that you won't always hear and see the big, sign, I guess you could say. You won't always see the big sign that you'll know beyond a doubt that you have heard God's voice, but you'll always hear the gentle whisper. You'll always hear and have a peace about the answer that he gives you from the gentle whisper that he does. Now let's go over to John chapter 10. So there's There's really a lot here in John, and I'm going to be looking at several different chapters in John that talk about how we know. How can we know God? How can we know and hear the voice of Jesus, the voice of God? How do we know that that we're hearing what we think we are? In chapter 10 of John, I'm not there yet. I'm still in 15, 16, and I'll get there with you. There we go. I want to begin in verse 1 and read down through 11 of chapter 10 here. This is talking about the shepherd and his flock, and I don't know sheep like Matt does. He's better at explaining all this kind of thing, but your sheep know your voice, don't they? I mean, when you're taking care of sheep, they know the shepherd's voice. And this is what we're going to find out here in this first part of this chapter. So I tell the truth, man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. And you all know and have heard us preach before about the shepherd and the sheep and how we know his voice and how the shepherd takes care of his sheep. It says, the watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So we'll know his voice. And I can tell you that in my early Christian life, I didn't know his voice as well as I do now. I wondered at that time, how do I know if it's me or if it's the Father that's talking to me? And it took me a little while to learn that I could know his voice, that I would know when he's talking to me. And that was because we have the Holy Spirit to help us. And there's some verses, just flip on over a few pages to John 14. John 14 starts out with, do not let your hearts be troubled. And I think that's why he told me to tell that person that you'll have a peace. There won't be any more conflict. There won't be any more argument in your soul and in your spirit, because you'll have a peace as you ask God to take over something. You'll have a peace that he's going to do that. And in John 14, verse 15 and following, it says, if you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and is in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And this, it goes on with the voice, with the words of Jesus here in John 14. In fact, the next few chapters are in my Bible are just about all red, because it's Jesus talking to his believers, talking to the disciples. And in 14:25, there's also a few more verses here that talk about the counselor. says, "All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, or the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." Peace I will leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So, to know the difference between me, my voice, and the voice of Jesus is that peace that comes after you've turned it over to the Lord, after you've said, "God, I can't do this. I need you to do it." And you'll have a peace knowing that you've heard what he's told you, and that his answer is what you need to hear. And that's what Jesus was telling the disciples. He said, "Unless I go away, unless I go back to the Father, the Holy Spirit's not coming to be with you." And that's why it talks about here that the world doesn't know the Holy Spirit. And I can attest to that as well. When Patsy and I were filled with the Spirit in the Mennonite church, we had somebody who came in and spoke on the Holy Spirit. And there were four or five couples that night that received the Holy Spirit, and we were two of the ones who did that. And the Mennonite church did not want to hear that. They didn't accept that we were filled with the Spirit, and they were not afraid to tell us that. My actual dad, I didn't get along with my dad for year and a half to 2 years because of that. Because he told me it was of the devil. And I said, "Dad, if what happened to us tonight is not real," I said, "it'll go away." I said, "If it's of the devil," I said, "it's not going to last. But," I said, "if it's real, it will last." And within, I would say, about a year and a half, probably, wasn't it, that accepted that it was real. And him and I began to have a good relationship again. But Satan has such a way of distorting the truth that he makes people believe that it's not real, but it is real. And we know by the Holy Spirit that we can get the answers that we need. As I was thinking about the Spirit leading us and the things that we do, Jamie and I have both started every day praying, "Father, Holy Spirit, lead me today. I need you today. I need you to lead me today." What a difference it makes when you acknowledge that it is the Holy Spirit. That's our conscience. You all have a conscience. You remember when you accepted the Lord, how your conscience bothered you, knowing up to that time that you were a sinner and it was time to walk with the Lord. Well, your conscience, the Holy Spirit, will also tell you the things that you need to know to walk through your week, to walk through your day. It's so good to have that Holy Spirit to lead us. I'm not going to read any more here in John, but if you want to just all through the next few chapters in John. So read 14, 15, 16. Read all of them this week as you do your devotions, because they're just full of verses that talk about the Spirit and how Jesus was going away so that the Spirit could come and lead us. So just as you go this week, if you've got decisions to make, pray to the Father. And know that He'll answer you. Know that you can hear His voice. And the more you do it, the more you'll recognize the Lord's voice. Because the more time you spend with Him, I can remember, as I was talking to this individual, I also told him that I spend a lot of time with the Lord every day. I spend a lot of time in the Word. And that's how I've learned to hear His voice. By spending time with Him. You guys and women who've spent years and years with your husband or wife, you learn to know their voice. You learn to know the way they feel, the way they act. And lot of times you can answer each other's questions, and you just know the other person. We got an invitation for Ed and Sue Ann Overholt, a couple that we've been in church with almost their whole lives until we came here. And they're having their 60th wedding anniversary, and so we've been invited to a party for that in December. So it's amazing to know someone who's been together. We had another couple from the Mennonite Church who lived together for 75 years. They were in their 90s, the Stauffers. A lot of you know the Elmer and Mildred Stauffer. And that's, so it's just amazing how much when you love and cherish someone, how good it is to live that long together. And so we're really looking forward to that. So as you go this week, just know that you can hear the voice of the Lord, and that when you hear it, you'll understand that it's Him speaking and not you, because it will bring you peace. You'll not have any more doubt, but you'll have peace in your heart. So if anybody needs prayer this morning, we'll be here to pray with you. If there's anyone who's never accepted the Lord and you'd like to do that this morning, I see you all have. We've got one of them groups today where it's all godly people. So, but if there's anyone who would love to accept the Lord today, we'll be here for that as well. God bless you and have a great week.